Now, I was listening on the radio the other day, and somebody said, okay, everybody take your face mask and wave it at other people. And I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe not. But anyhow, so thank you for connecting. And if you are watching online, whether live or checking out the video afterwards, we'd love to connect with you. Again, if you could go to our website, there is a Connect tab there. Just click on that and let us know that you're watching. And if you have any needs or prayer requests, let us know. And we will pray for you and minister to you as we are able. All right. Well, this morning, guess what? It's Father's Day. I'm going to talk about dads. And my message is entitled Famous Dads. But before we do that, one of the things as you get older, I'm thinking of, I don't know that I did this, but the story is told of a young minister just starting out that his first Father's Day sermon was on the Ten Commandments of Parenting. And then as he went on, he had some kids, and it's like 10 Principles of Parenting. And as his kids got older, his sermons became 10 Suggestions for Parents. So one of the things you do learn is you don't know everything. And so for today, we have a video of, I was able to interview Paul Tregesser and Wayne Nelk and ask them some questions about being a dad. So we're going to start the message with getting some wit and wisdom on being a dad from those two.
Good job, Lauren.
Okay, I got it. Dad!
Tregesser here with me today, one of the fathers in our church, to share with you some of the wit and wisdom that he has learned helping to raise six children. Six children. So here we go. Your first question for you, what are some of the best things about being a dad?
I think some of the best things are when the kids are small, just watching them discover and learn new things that we as adults often take for granted, just the simple little things of how bugs crawl and birds fly, and they take the time to notice them and watch them. The other part of that is that as my children are all adults now, seeing them as mature, God-loving adults who are productive in society, that's a very, it makes me very proud, and it just makes me thank the Lord that much more because I know I couldn't have done it without Him.
Well, actually the best thing about being a dad is the kids, for the most part. I do have three daughters, Rebecca, Amy, and Kara, and they're all grown now and out of the house, so they range from 35 this year to 28. So that's but the best thing about the kids, just watching them grow, just the different experiences. There's each one is different, and it's it really it also helps you grow a lot.
What is one thing your dad did that you said you would never do when you had kids, and how has that worked out for you?
I don't know. The one thing that I I don't know if I ever said it, but one thing that I didn't do that my dad did, and I did kind of resolve not to do, and that is he would use his belt when he disciplined us. And but he usually, it was just a matter of he would, after he used it once or twice, he would just bring it out and he'd snap it, and we quite often, that was the end of it. But I did choose not to. I would not use a physical object other than if I did spank the kids, it was with my hand. Whether that was right or wrong, I don't know, but that would be the.
Yeah, this question, I don't know that I ever remember saying that too much. My dad loved the Lord. He had his own faults, as do all of us. I guess probably the one thing that he said that irritated me a lot was just do it because I said so, and that was all the answer or explanation he ever got. But I don't know that I tried to use that, but I probably did. If you ask my children, they probably would say I did say that at certain times. I don't know, but anyway.
Question 3. Many Christian family teachers say the best thing a mother can do for her kids is to respect her husband. Do you think something similar can be said for fathers, that the best thing a father can do for his kids is to love his wife?
Yeah, that's very important. The best thing a father can do is to love his children's mother and to care for her and to never belittle her or talk down to her or negatively to her, probably ever, but especially never in front of the children, that they would never see you putting their mother down in any way.
I would definitely agree with that statement. I do believe the example that that Bev and I set for our kids is probably the most important thing that we do. And showing her love and honoring her so that they, and especially since they had daughters, it was just a matter of they needed to know that they needed to be treated with respect and honor and love in their relationships with others also.
Question number 4, what do you think is one of the greatest challenges you face, let's make it you faced as a dad as the girls were growing up, and then how does that change over the course of time as the kids grow up?
Well, since I was also the local math teacher, it did vary, the challenges varied from child to child. Each one of them had a little bit of intrepidation when it came time for them to have me as a teacher instead of their dad. And it did affect the relationships. And it was, in some ways, was a challenge for them and also for me. But I did learn a lot about my teaching through having my kids as students. The challenge is it's neat how, as the kids grow up, you think that, you always think the stages that are over were easier, but there is new challenges and different challenges as they grow, and even now as they're grown, the thing that's real important to know is you continue to work on that relationship, because they grow, there's different aspects of areas where you're going to disagree or agree as you grow older. They do express they continue to express their own individuality, and they do have opinions that differ from yours, but that's also to be expected, it is neat to see them grow, but it does change from age to age, and it's expected and learn to grow with it And also, don't be afraid to look at yourself in it.
For me, one of the greatest challenges because I was in the military was I was gone a lot. And that put a lot of responsibility on Pam. And then, reconnecting when you came back to not disrupt the discipline and the schedules and things that they had already established while you were gone, and try to fit back in with that and not overstep where maybe their mother had already established something, especially when you're gone for weeks or even months at a time.
What would you say is one of the challenges of being a dad of adult children?
One of the challenges of being a dad of adult children is to recognize and let them make decisions and know that, the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go and he will never depart from it. And even though at times it seems like maybe they're not making the wisest decisions, it's just trusting the Lord to let them make the decisions, even if you know it might be a fail situation, it can be a learning thing for them. And so.
Tell us a funny story about yourself as a dad.
Oh, probably some folks in the congregation may have already heard this, but when our second daughter was born, I thought we had spent a tremendous amount of time in the delivery room when our first daughter was born, when Alyssa was born. So I thought I would trim that time down some, and we would wait until the last possible moment to go and not have to spend so much time in the hospital. Well, for Rebecca, our second daughter, I waited almost too long. I almost didn't make it into the delivery room for her as we arrived, and she was born in about 35 minutes after we got in the door. I was still trying to run and get the camera and get the stuff lined up so I could get into the delivery room, and Pam was kind of upset because I kept stalling her the whole time. Finally, she said, either you're taking me to the hospital or I'm walking. It was only about 3 blocks away, so I said, okay, we'll go. But yeah, it was cut it kind of short. So
I did learn the hard way that that girls cared a whole lot more about how they looked when they went to school. And there was a time when one of my daughters had colored her hair and had not come out real well. And I thought that I should just simply insist that she should go to school. Anyway, she did end up staying home. there are times with each one, it's easier to laugh at it now than then, but again, there's just times when you have expectations that are completely different from theirs. Part of it was because they were girls, but it's not always that. They will surprise you with the things that they will come up with, both in ways that you really enjoy, and then sometimes they'll surprise you, and you'll go, okay, how do I deal with this one? But it's nice to have supporting a wife that's there also, and that communication is very important.
What is your favorite dad joke?
Actually, that one I'm afraid you're going to have to ask my kids. I tell them just on the spur of the moment, and they remember them and I don't.
I'm not probably real big on dad jokes, but I guess the one that I know is, when does a joke become a dad joke? When it's a parent.
How does your relationship with Jesus, your faith, affect your role as a dad?
It's a believe it's a huge effect on being a dad, because you have the ability to go to the Lord and ask His direction and His guidance in your decision making, and whether the children are small or whether they're adults, they all need prayer, and they need constant prayer, whether it's for safety or for wisdom or for wise decisions on their part. And for those of you that have teens and coming into the preteen stage, you'll know that wisdom and wise decisions on their part are going to be very important very soon.
Well, actually, I don't know what people do that don't have it. Simply because it's, and actually the kids are very good about, they're just like your wife. The biggest thing, one of the things that families do more than anything else, is they really show you where you're selfish. And so your wife and your kids can be sometimes the greatest teachers as to just showing where you are, where you need to improve. I don't know what I would have done without a faith in Christ. The one thing that it's sort of God just proves Himself faithful, and learning to lean on Him, especially in tough situations, and even in the good ones too, because sometimes the good ones can also be, the good times can also have their challenges. But just leaning on Him, I feel sorry for someone who doesn't have that to lean on.
And last question, or comments for you. Any words of wisdom or advice for a dad who may be struggling right now?
Well, one thing that Bev encouraged me to do, and with each one of the girls, is I would take them out to eat. We'd try to do it once a month with each one of them, just them and I, especially in times when you are struggling with them, it's real important to just try to find a time where you can get in a sort of a neutral location, just taking them out for breakfast is usually what we do. Sometimes it'd be an evening meal, and just to have that time. But also, they always knew that if mom left, I was going to go down and we were going to have chicken. finding a time to get together with them, whether it's over a meal or even one of my daughters always came to my room, and even at school, even through her high school years, and also just that time, really appreciated her. She would continue to do it. We always tried to have some sort of devotion at night, but all the way through high school until she graduated, we'd read a chapter of the Bible. Not necessarily every night, but we'd try to do it at least 3 to 4 times a week, and just talk about it, and that was a real blessing.
Kind of goes back to his prayer, prayer, prayer. You just... you can't cover your wife enough in prayer, and you can't cover your children enough in prayer, and prayer for yourself to be able to communicate properly and to just share what God has laid on your heart for them, and to just keep praying for them, because ultimately they have their own mind and free will and choice, which is what God gave to us, and it just... they just need a lot of prayer to make wise decisions and seek the Lord in all they do.
So. I want to say thanks to Paul and to Wayne. It's not always the easiest thing in the world to sit in front of a camera and answer questions like that. Now, you know, I'm known for my sense of humor. Some would say bad dad jokes, though, and I'm more like Wayne, they tend to be more spur of the moment stuff. But one thing I do feel a little guilty of is when our children were smaller, I had one of them convinced that Cheerios were donut seeds. So, I still haven't lived that one down yet.
Until she was in sixth grade.
Well, I was very persuasive back then. I think, in a sense, each dad has that desire to be famous, at least in the sight of their own kids. Not necessarily celebrity for others, but that their kids are proud to be able to say, yeah, that's my dad. And in that regard, I think that is something that all of us who are dads do that. And there's nothing quite like hearing that expression from your child, Dad. Now we do the other video.
Good job, Lauren.
Okay, I got it. Dad.
Okay, don't forget to carry the one.
Dad.
Okay. That was delicious. Thank you. All right, hold on there, kiddo.
Dad.
Say cheese.
Cheese.
There you go. Okay, just one more. Hold your trophy up a little bit higher.
Dad.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's time to rise and shine.
Dad.
I love it.
No.
Dad. Dad.
And they were here first.
Dad.
So you want to go catch a movie at like 7:30 or something?
Dad.
And one more. Okay, one more. Wait, 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 come on, just one more.
Dad!
I'm so proud of you. Now you just gotta get a job.
Dad!
You look beautiful.
Oh, Dad.
And stand just a little closer together and move just a little bit to the left. My left. A little more.
Dad!
I made it through without crying this time. You know, the truth is that as dads, we're not perfect, but we want what's best for our families. And I know it's always sad to me to hear, unfortunately, not everybody had a good dad like that dad. My prayer is that God will bring healing to your heart. But I think it's telling about dads, about fathers, when Jesus teaches about prayer, he relates our Heavenly Father's heart to answer our prayers to an earthly father's giving good things to his kids. We read in Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, gives him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? We know what love is. We know what giving is because our Heavenly Father set that example for us by sending his only Son, Jesus, to this world to redeem it. Now, parents, both mom and dads, I would encourage you to go through the Love and Respect videos that are on Right Now Media. Our church has a free account. You just have to contact the church and we can get you hooked up. And I say that because a lot of the relationship between a husband and a wife helps so much when it comes to relating to your children. And for guys, you know, you want your daughters, as Wayne mentioned, to know how they should be treated, how the day will come when you hope that they will find that person whom you've been praying for all of their lives, will come into their lives, and that they will know how they should be loved and treated as a woman. And for moms, that son, that daughter-in-law that you've been praying for, that your son will understand how to relate to her, and that they will relate to each other, and that they will have a strong marriage because they've seen it exemplified at home. And Right Now Video, or the Right Now Media with those Love and Respect videos, a lot of that is stuff you probably already know, but I know we just went through it, several weeks of it here in one of our small groups. And even though we've been married now 39 years, right? 39 years, wow. I don't know how that's possible when I'm still only 35, but, you know, it was a good reminder for us of some of those things that even now that the kids are gone, we need to do to help us grow in our relationship and be the moms and dads God desires for us to be. One of the things that brought, that video series brought out, is that God created us male and female in His image. And that God created men and women a little different. Generally speaking, women, moms, are known for love. You know, since we've watched that, it's been interesting to me when Kelly's been on the phone. I don't know. For me, I have to intentionally think about reminding myself to tell people, hey, I love you. For her, it's just as natural as breathing. Hey, I love you. And I'm thinking, okay, it just, you know, it really does just flow from her. She's that mom, that woman, that's why God doesn't command wives to love their husbands, because he's just built that innately into them. For us guys, it's a little different. It's more about respect, protect, provision. And I know, at least I'll speak for myself here, I think a lot of, most dads could say this too, that what we want for our kids is that they will have better lives than we did, and that they will become better people than we are. That we want to somehow help them grow to a place where they surpass us. And to me, that's the greatest legacy I could leave, is that somehow God helped me to raise kids grew up to be better than dad. Now, dads, one of the things that we often battle is busyness. We can get so busy doing for our families that we don't take time to be with our families. And probably one of the toughest areas for this, I know I struggled with this many times, is you're trying to do a project and you want to get it done. Because you know, once that project's done, you got something else lined up. There's always something to do. And yet with kids, how do they learn? Well, I tell people I don't have a mechanical bone in my body. Part of that is we never owned a car. My folks never owned a car as the whole time I was growing up. So I wasn't one of those that, you know, I have friends that they are very mechanical. Where did they learn that? Well, they hung out with their dad in the garage and, you know, tore stuff apart, put stuff back together. Some have learned a lot of different skills that way. And as a dad, sometimes it's hard to push the busyness aside and to allow them, because you just, you know, have you ever been trying to teach your kids something and you just want to do it for them because you want to get it done, or they're not doing it quite right? Depending on your level of perfection, that can be very harder for some than others. But you know, it's interesting to me that the things that I remember the most Some of my best memories as a kid is doing stuff with my dad. You know, it's amazing as you hear people talk about, oh, I remember we went, you know, Dad always took us fishing. Do you like fishing? No, not particularly, but I like spending time with Dad. It's those things, or how did you learn to ride a bike? Well, my dad taught me, kind of like in that video there. Or I learned to do stuff because I did stuff with my dad. For me, some of my best memories are just sitting out on the front porch on a summer day, watching it rain, especially if it was storming out, watching the lightning flash and hearing the booms and the wind blowing the mist across the porch, because it wasn't a closed-in porch, it was just an open porch. But to me, and we would talk about clouds, we'd talk about nature, talk about all kinds of stuff. And for me, those are still some of my best memories, just that spending time together. It was my dad who modeled for me being a good neighbor, doing things for others to help them out, because that's what friends and neighbors do. He's the one who instilled within me, when you borrow something, you want to return it in as good or better condition than when you got it. He's the one who always taught me to count my change. Not because for fear that they were going to short me, but they might give me too much. And he wanted to be honest. And more than once I've had to, you gave me too much money. I still do that today, except with a card, of course, but when I still handle cash. But those are the sort of things that, in a sense, are more caught, really, than even taught. Those things that were important to Dad became important to me. He's also the one that taught me you never hit a woman unless she's coming at you with a gun or a frying pan. So, you know, self-defense. Other than that, you just don't hit a woman. And I think it's somewhat telling, our son Ryan went to Valley Forge to go to college out by Philadelphia. And he got involved in the drama program out there, and we went out to see one of his plays. And after the very first one, we went out there. Applebee's was doing their half off on appetizers after 9 o'clock. So we went to Applebee's after the play. And one of the, wasn't a girlfriend, but, you know, was a friend that was a girl. We need another word for that. Rode with us to Applebee's, and we got to the restaurant, and as we're walking into the restaurant, she looked at Ryan, she goes, "Now I know why you talk the way you do. You talk just like your dad." I'm thinking, poor boy. You know, but that sort of thing. But see, that's why God designed families. That we learn things from mom and dad that will help us to become the people that God wants us to be. Our main verse for today is Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. It says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck." See, verse 9 here gives us a clear picture that the instructions of parents are not to be despised. Instead, they should be seen as treasures. The wise instructions of a parent, like fine jewelry, are often obtained at great cost. And those who actively use the wisdom of their parents will see it reflected in their lives. Other people, as Paul talked about, will notice the wise choices, the wise behavior, the wise words, just that we use when we listen to our parents, just as someone will notice the fine jewelry that a person wears. And this is more for the kids, though, even in our relationships as adults with our parents. But kids, learning to obey your mom and dad will teach you how to live under authority. And the truth is that everyone lives under authority. If you have a job, guess what? You just don't get to show up for your job anytime you want. They're going to tell you, "We want you here from this time to this time." And they're going to tell you things like, well, you know, don't play on your phone. You know, isn't it amazing how many restaurants or businesses you go into and they have the little sign up there for their employees, you know, you cannot be on your phone during work hours. You'd think, well, of course not, but we have to tell people that. Learning to live under authority is a lot of the reason why God desires us or teaches us that children are to obey your parents, because the ultimate authority, of course, is God. If we can't learn to be obedient and under the authority of mom and dad, it's going to be very hard for us to live under God's authority and to learn to live to please Him. I think one of the toughest things that I've seen at times is, and you know, moms usually get all the praise, dads get beat up. I don't want to beat up dads. I'm one of them. But I'll speak to myself here, and if it applies to someone else, then well and good. Sometimes I have to remember and be conscious, make a conscious effort to let my kids know that I'm proud of them for who they are and for what they do. And if you think about your own life, how often some of those precious moments are for you is to hear your dad say, or if your dad ever said to you, hey, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of who you are. I'm proud of the example you set. I'm proud of the choices you made. Because the respect of our fathers is very important to us as children. So my encouragement is let's make sure we take time to both praise and instruct. Let them know that they're doing well. And one of the things that my daughter keeps reminding me of, especially when we've helped at foster kids camps, when you're trying to help somebody put together a craft, she look at me and she goes, Dad, it's about progress, not perfection. Progress, not perfection. The truth is that most of us are maybe good at really good at one or two things, and the rest of it we just get by on. You know, and I like sports, and so as I was thinking about that, progress, not perfection. If you had to be perfect every time, baseball would be a very boring sport. Because I did the research on this, and with over 150 years of Major League Baseball history, over 218,000 games played, there have been 23 official perfect games by the definition. If you want to do the math, I did because I was curious. That's 0.0001% of all the games has there ever been a perfect game. So they're very rare. And interestingly, no pitcher has ever pitched more than one. Progress, not perfection. And it's interesting and telling to me that when we read in Scripture, especially in the New Testament, instructions to fathers, Colossians 3:21, just this one verse to dads. Ephesians 4 or 6 also has a verse to dads. I'm going to read Colossians 3:21 out of the Amplified Bible. It says, fathers, do not provoke or irritate or fret your children. Do not be hard on them, harass them, lest they become discouraged and sullen and morose and feel inferior and frustrated. Do not break their spirit. I think it's somewhat telling that as dads, because there is so much pressure on us to perform, to do well. Guys get together and, you know, it amazes me how many times Kelly and I can look back where we've gone to visit friends, and driving back home, she can tell me about everything that's going on in their lives of their kids. And, well, what did you two talk about? Oh, sports, what's going on at work, you know. Well, we were there 4 hours. You didn't learn anything else? No. You know. Am I true? But so much But that's because so much, guys will tend to talk more about politics and sports and work rather than the relational side, because that's where we get the push. What do you do? Where do you work? How much money do you make? Well, we don't usually ask that much. We just kind of look, he's got one of them expensive watches on. He must make more money than I do. You know, but that's the kind of things that we have to be careful as dads. Again, that progress, not perfection with our kids, so that we don't exasperate them. And honestly, the biggest thing is making the time to spend with your family, spend with your kids. What Wayne talked about, I think, is a great practice. It doesn't have to be anything big or anything expensive. It could just be going out, getting an ice cream cone or a soda or something. If you don't, you're saying, well, we don't have a lot of extra money. But that time, individual time with each child, is so vital. And when it comes to a relationship with God, especially for boys, mom can still have the influence, but I've seen it more often than not, and they've actually done research on this. But guys, there is that responsibility on us as the father, and I know there's a lot of things, but basically God put us as responsible for our families. We are the head of the household. Doesn't mean the wife is lesser or anything. It's God's given us that responsibility, and when it comes to spiritual matters, fathers actually play a very, very significant role. Matter of fact, in studies they found that when dad has faith, there's a far greater possibility that their children are also going to continue on in that faith. And not to diminish a mom's faith, but when dad believes and lives it, it has such a powerful influence, and I've seen that over and over and over again. In real life. Deuteronomy 6 reminds us of this, and this is for both moms and dads, that we're to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. There are so many teachable moments that God will bring into our lives. Some happy times that we can, hey, isn't this great? Reminds me of how great God is. And sometimes when we're walking through the hard times of, hey, I know it really stinks, but I'm glad I can rely on God and find strength in God to help through this time. All these things can help us as parents and as dads with our kids. Now, personally, I think dads are awesome, and I love dad jokes. I will spare you. You'll probably hear enough of them today anyway. I've got one last video I want to play for you, and it's called a Father's Day Prayer. And as that's playing, Sarah, if you just find your way back up, and we're going to finish today with the final song.
Thank you for giving me the greatest daddy in the whole world. He goes to work and makes money so we can buy food and toys and have a nice house. He's really tired when he gets home, but some days he takes me to the playground and pushes me on the swing. Sometimes he even plays dollies and tea party with me. That's just how much he loves me. I like when he comes to my school programs. He always tells me that I'm a great singer and he's proud of me. He teaches me all kinds of stuff too. And other times I learn just by watching him. At bedtime, he reads the bestest bedtime stories I've ever heard. And then he prays for me. God, my daddy loves you so much. That's what I learned to love you so much, God, by watching my daddy. So God, if you wouldn't mind, can you please make this the best Father's Day ever for my daddy? I'll color a picture of him that he can put on the refrigerator. You know, he says I make the best art in the whole world.
There's just one chief and two men's purpose, and one main reason for existence. See your beauty.
Would bring glory to you. And this day, Lord, I pray for those who are our dads, that God, you would just help us to be the men that our kids can be proud of, and that you would help us, Lord, through all the things that are demanded of us to do what is pleasing in your sight, and that God, in us, those around us may see a little glimpse of fatherhood, of your goodness, of your care, of your provision, of your protection. And Lord, my heart goes out and I pray for those who may be listening today and it's a struggle for them because they didn't have a good relationship with their dad, or maybe their dad was not even present. And this is a hard day for them. Lord, I pray that this day, by the power and presence of your Spirit, that they would have a taste of your goodness, of your love, that they might hear in their hearts that you are proud of them because of who they are and because of what they do, and that, Lord, today would be a day of healing for them. Father, I just ask that you bless our homes, moms and dads together, in these days that we face, that perhaps more challenging than ever in raising children to do what is right and to know and to love you. So Lord, we ask for your help and we give you the praise and the glory, knowing that you are our Heavenly Father, that you are for us, that you are not against us, that you love us with a never-ending love, that you are a part of our lives and that we can always count on you. Lord, thank you for these things. We give you praise for all of your goodness, your greatness, and your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you today. On your way out, fellas, make sure and pick up a pen as a gift here from our church. Also, if for the kids, there is a sheet back there on that table also that says Make It Stick. Moms, dads, there's some activities and suggestions on ways to take the sermon and today's message and apply it throughout the week and talk with your kids about it. And God bless you. Have a great week in Jesus. We'll see you next Sunday, should the Lord tarry.